I'd like to share with you tonight a foundational thought. Churches are trying to do everything and everything, trying to get people in. So it might be a good idea for us to go back to the beginning. There was a famous football coach, and I don't follow sports, so I can't remember names like that, but he was very famous. And one of the things he would do every year, gather these career football players together, and he'd say, "This is a football. It is this many inches long." He would start at the beginning, the fundamentals. And so let's do that tonight. Seeing God's pattern of the church. What is a church? What did God make it to be in the beginning? Let me take you to Acts 2, 41 to 47. "Then they that gladly received his word," that is, they accepted the gospel, "were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." I should tell you that there's an attitude about church that says it's not very important if you go to, you know, an actual church, as long as you're spiritual and so on. You see here, they have a number, and it says they were added to the church, to them. This, if you take them to mean what it says, there was a list to that list they were added, you see. Names were added. That's how they counted them. And so there was membership. There were people stepping forward saying, "I want to be a member of this church." And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Doctrine is teaching. Fellowship is gathering together. And in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. At this time, as God was establishing this form and this presentation of his kingdom to the Jews, there was, again, this is pretty much why miracles happened throughout history. God was establishing his kingdom. He was proving that it was his kingdom, and he was establishing rules of the kingdom. This is how the kingdom began in the Exodus, when the miracles brought them out of Egypt. And then various of the prophets did miracles to establish the proper pattern of the kingdom and so on. Now, the offering of the kingdom after the resurrection of Christ to Israel, they again rejected it then, but there were miracles here for them to see this was of God. We see little miracles as a result of our spending time in prayer. We've seen a lot of very interesting things that wouldn't have been thought the normal way of things. So they believed, all that were believed were together and had all things common, that is, they shared things, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. That is, if we have people that have a need, they were people that said, "Well, I have this and I can give that," and so on. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, this is where they were meeting, and breaking bread from house to house, and this could mean at home, the King James margin tells us, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Breaking of bread probably refers to the Lord's Supper, but it could also mean having meals together. And that they did house to house or in their homes rather than out in the open by the temple. That it eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. At this point, these were just great people, kindly people, and loving people, and the people around them, the unsaved people around them, liked them. They had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you think about the history of the church since that time, Richard Halverson was a Presbyterian minister, served as the chaplain of the United States Senate February 2, 1981 until December 31, 1994. He said this, "In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women centering on the living Christ." That's how it began. People gathering, centering on the living Christ. Then it moved to Greece, where it became a philosophy. And this is where a lot of the false doctrines came in, as they tried to compare the Greek philosophies with Christian philosophy. Then it moved to Rome, where it became an institution, a structured institution. Next, it moved to Europe, where it became a culture, a way of life. Now it has moved to America, where it has become an enterprise, an industry, a bureaucracy of things. So going back to our passage and taking bite-sized pieces here, let's just move quickly through this. Number one, membership added in verse 41. Positive reception, then they that gladly received his word. This was not pressurized things. This was not keeping people over for 15 verses of the invitation until somebody says, "I'm just going to go forward to get this thing over with." These were presented to the people and they said yes. And then public recognition. They were baptized. And so to join the church, it was not just a simple belief thing to join the church. It was always a simple belief thing to get saved. But to join the church, you had to take a stand. You had to be the one who said, "I am standing for Christ." Matthew Henry says, "They were baptized, believing with the heart, they made confession with the mouth, and enrolled themselves among the disciples of Christ by that sacred rite, ritual, and ceremony which he had instituted," baptism. Thirdly, personal responsibility, and the same day, they didn't wait, they didn't dawdle, they didn't say, "Well, it's a big decision, I got to think about this," and so on. They were saying, "We want to be a part of this. These people want to be a part of this movement, want to be a part of this church." And then preserving records, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So they were keeping records and they were taking names. So membership was added. Then we see, secondly, the main activity of the original church. Main activity. They were submitting. And they continued steadfastly. This word steadfastly means to be consistently attentive unto, really giving something attention, to give unremitting care to a thing. This is to dedicate yourself to something, you see. And so they continued in a dedicated way, submitting, not trying to take the church in their direction. But they were following. And then shepherding, they were continued in the apostles' doctrine. That's the important concept here, is that each group of believers didn't make up their own rules. They were submitting to those that Christ had chosen to lead the church, the ones that Christ had instructed with proper doctrine. And so that has come down to us in the Bible, and especially the New Testament, to where we learn. Of course, they were studying the Old Testament, you understand. That was the Bible at that time. But they had been shown how to read it and understand it and interpret it from the point of view of the New Testament, the New Covenant. And so it was the Apostles' doctrine. Then point C, they had society. They gathered in fellowship. This is where you just enjoy each other's company. You look at somebody and you say, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm okay." "No, really. What's going on?" See? Because if you know someone and what they're normally like, sometimes they don't seem to be up to par. Supping and in breaking of bread. And again, I was mentioning that this can mean having meals together, but probably also meant the Lord's Supper, breaking of bread. Supplicating and in prayers. I was exercising my ability to think of S words. Supplicating. So they were in prayers. And this is what we're doing tonight, looking to God in prayer. Signs and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. God had given them the responsibility to do these things. He had told them that they would do more miracles than he did. And so even up to raising the dead, these things were being done. So it was a wondrous time, wonderful time in the sense of wonders and signs, because these things were not just done like my magic tricks for entertainment. It was done meaning something. A sign points to something. A sign instructs in something. And so these were wonders and signs. And they were sharing, and all that believed were together and had all things common. We have seen this here where somebody tells us that they need something, something broke, and they need something right away. And somebody from the church says, well, I have that, and I can give that, and so on. And then selling, even to this point, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. It seems to me that it was probably Barnabas that started this. His name is brought up especially as and the details of what he did. He evidently had land in his hometown of Cyprus, and that island far away. But it might have been something like his retirement land or something like that, but he decided that the present need of all these Christians, and remember, the day of Pentecost, thousands of people came from all around the world. And so Jerusalem was truly bulging at the seams. And then thousands of people got saved and stayed. So the houses that were housing them kept housing them until they said, we can't have you here anymore. And these people were having needs. They didn't have a job in this area. So he sold his property, gave it to the church to distribute as people had need, not wants. The third thing that I'll close with is the maturing attitudes. And this is something that seems to have been forgotten in a lot of the churches today. The idea is to get a lot of people in here, cram them in as much as they can, and then we can't trust them because we don't know what they believe and so on. So we can't have them vote on things. They can't bring up things at the business meeting. Whereas this goal was maturing attitudes, bringing them into maturity. Notice this, the purpose in 46a, and they continued daily with one accord. One accord, we don't use that term very much anymore. One accord means with one mind, single-mindedly. As in Romans 15:6, that you may be with one mind and one mouth, glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so thinking the same. How do you think the same? Well, you learn the same. You gain the teaching from the Word of God. Then place, it was public in the temple where they were seen of people gathering, and it was private, breaking bread from house to house, or perhaps in the various homes. Then there was provision. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It may be that this was how the food was put together for those who were in need. They were invited over to a house for the meals. Julie Cox was talking about her mother being sick, her mother, the cook, being sick, and how that they had some unusual money gifts that allowed them to actually buy food and bring it in to help out the ailing cook. And God provides these things ahead of time. So provision. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Meat, by the way, is Strong's 5160, trophe. Trophe means food in general, or nourishment. Hopefully the food is nourishing, and not strictly meat, as in animal meat. Then there was praise. They were praising God. There is an attitude today that praise means having a boisterous song time. It is the praise time where people can shout and dance in the aisle and so on. Now, how you praise God is really up to you. I'd rather you not dance in the aisle while I'm trying to preach. I'm just saying that I'm not going to tell you that it's wrong. Mekti keeps trying to get up and dance in the aisle, but no, she doesn't do that. Praising God. Then peace, having favor with all the people. Favor, again, is grace, that the people saw them as graceful, as gracious people. And it's only later when the Jews stirred them up, because they were preaching the resurrection of Christ, that disfavor came, but there was peace at first. And God does that. God calms an area down for a church to grow. And the last thing is progress. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Here were people that were only here because they got saved. And so they had church gatherings, assembly gatherings, every day. Should be saved, by the way, translates a present passive participle, giving the meaning were being saved. Not that these were the ones who ought to be saved, in a Calvinist election kind of thought. It doesn't mean that. It means they were being saved, those who were being saved. And by the way, this is the first use of the word church in the book of Acts, right here. He added to the assembly, and we would come to think of the church as the assembly, and the assembly of Christ, the assembly of God, the assembly at Jerusalem or whatever, but it's just the word for assembly, which was a regular Greek word for an official gathering for legal purposes. All right, getting back to the meaning of the church in the beginning, and let's make sure we don't stray far from that just because we're in America and everything wants to be an enterprise.